walking commercial everywhere I go. Come back, we've got more, we've got more. It's so good. Before I get into what I'm going to share tonight, we had not intended to ever leave West Michigan, ever. But somehow, and maybe it'll have everything to do with what we're going to talk about, actually. So this is an illustration that I actually believe what I'm talking about. Okay, because I'm living it out. You'll see what I mean as I put it all together. But we were fast track, just heading down the road, thinking that Pastor Brad Calajane and I would follow him when he retired out of Caledonia and Grand Rapids. And then he just wasn't really ready to retire, but I was ready to get back into a lead role. And he's got lots of energy, still moving full steam ahead. And so I said, I need to open myself up to any other opportunities that might come. To that point, I had rejected a lot of other opportunities, just never even dreamed I would be anywhere else. And the next day, an offer came in from Buffalo, New York, and I said to my wife, we're going to New York. And I was kidding, totally kidding, because there's no way we're going to New York. And she said, why not? And so we interviewed, and one thing led to another, and we ended up out there. But here's what got me. That area is the 10th most post-Christian city in America. What that means is when it's post-Christian, it means people in that area do not think a Christian worldview. So that attracted the craziness out of me because I'm an evangelist. We've had, in just the first 2 years, we've had 1,100 new people get involved in our church. And here's what's even way cooler. So a year and a half ago, I was like, all these new people are coming. So we had two baptismal fonts up, baptistries up front. And I said, if you've never been baptized and God has gotten a hold of you and you want to repent of your sin and follow Jesus Christ with your life, come and be baptized. 174 people came forward and got baptized. Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Then this year we did the same thing and 94 more people came. And I'm telling you, I never would have chosen to ever raise my family in that kind of an environment, but God's taken care of them. And while West Michigan will always be our home, that is our mission field, and we're absolutely loving it. And it has everything to do with it, what I want to share with you. And what I'm about to share is exactly what I've had to apply to my own life. And what it is the 10-second rule. Or how to live out the 10 seconds of your life. And you may think, what does that even mean? Well, to illustrate it and to set it up, I want to share with you at the beginning a pet peeve that I have, and it's a huge pet peeve, when Christians take Bible verses out of context. And I'm going to prove to you that you do this big time. Here it is. This is Isaiah 55. If any of you have ever quoted this, then... don't raise your hand, okay? Because I will have judgments on you. Here we go. Verse 8. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Have you ever had those, that you've quoted this? Every one of us have in some way. The Lord is just a great mystery. Because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I bet all of us have quoted this at one time or another. But can I put this verse, these two verses in context? Isaiah, who's preaching this on behalf of the Lord, says these words at the beginning of this declaration. Come, all who are thirsty. Let me just ask you, who are thirsty people? People who don't know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you're thirsty. When you know Jesus, he fills you because he's the living water. You now have the quenching of your thirst, but you're unquenched when you are going after money or power or popularity or status or anything that just makes you feel good. Those things are all going to leave you thirsty. And so God is speaking here to unbelievers. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I am a mystery to you. The Apostle Paul, again, in the bloodline that we talked about today from Rachel, this same Apostle Paul said these words in 1 Corinthians. And here it is. 1 Corinthians, right around, where were we? About 2 and beyond. He says this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind even has conceived those things that God has for them. Who can know the mind of the Lord? For God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's quoting Isaiah here, correct? Who can know the ways of the Lord so as to instruct him? Now, this is 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. Who can know the mind of the Lord? What does he say? Anybody know the answer? We do. You can read it for yourself. He says, we know the mind of the Lord. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. And I know you're getting it because you're all lighting up with all this bright light on your faces now. I see all the light kind of kicking in. So I know you're getting what I'm saying here. This is what I'm saying. And here, this is the foundation in many ways for building toward these 10 seconds that I want to... Your every day, you have critically important 10 seconds in every day that I want to tell you. If you don't get this right, you'll go through and have, in many ways, maybe a good life, but you won't have the extraordinary life that God wants you to have. And here's what it is. Did you know that in your home, and to build up to what I'm going to say here in just a second, keep all this in your mind. We're building a foundation to this big idea. Did you know that in your home, there is a most dangerous item? Now, I've looked it up here, and the top five, according to the CDC and some other tests that have been done on homes, there are five of the most dangerous things in your home. Number one is poisoning. That is one of the most dangerous. But that, to me, is not the most important or most dangerous item in your home. There is, number two, is falling down the stairs. That's dangerous. No question. Slipping in the bathtub. Definitely dangerous. Falling out of bed. That's the fourth. Number five is choking on food. So avoid all those things if you want to have a safe home. But I want to tell you, there's one that is far, far, far more dangerous to your soul than any of these combined. And I would say, this is a good illustration of it. I would say your lazy boy is the most dangerous item in your home. No question. Here's why I say that. Because God is going to speak to you. You have the mind of Christ. If you're a Jesus follower, he's going to mess with your mind. And he's going to plant ideas into your mind. And you're going to say, oh boy, that makes me uncomfortable. And you're going to be tempted to sit in your lazy boy and play it safe spiritually. Here's what I mean. Claire DeGraff wrote a book, and it's called The 10-Second Rule. I've been applying this to my life ever since I read the book. He says this. When the Lord plants a seed in your mind, he says you have 10 seconds to obey. Because in the 11th second and beyond, you're going to come up with every excuse in the book not to. And I have found that to be true. When I said to my wife, we're going to New York, I was just joking. And she said, why not? And I started with a premise of saying, well, I could look like a fool if we go there. I will absolutely fail. I'm following a pastor of 38 years. I'm going to be the sacrificial lamb. There's no way this is going to succeed. All of these thoughts could have started stirring. But because we have a 10-second rule in our home, when there's a planted seed, you will start to have an opportunity in that moment to either say yes or to ignore it and try to play it comfortable, and you go back to your lazy boy lifestyle. I'm telling you, if you do this, you're going to maybe have a really good life, but you'll get to the end of your life and you'll have regret. There was a study that was done, I shared this the last time I was here, by Tony Campolo, another concept that's fundamentally changed who I am as a follower of Christ. And he asked 95-year-old people or older, if you could live life over again, what would you do differently the next time? And all of their answers across the board were all over the place. But their top three answers were almost identical across the board. To these 100 people who were 95 years or older, they all said, if I could live life over again, I would take more time to live in the moment and enjoy the moment. I would take more time to risk. I wish I wouldn't have stayed in my spiritual lazy boy. They're calling out what I'm going to talk about here a little bit deeper in just a minute. They said, and number one, they said, if we could live life over again, we would take more time to truly invest in something bigger than me. They wished that they could pour their life out in a more significant and very dramatic way. Should we shut the shades? Is that what you're doing? Yeah. That's good. Okay, let's do that real quick. Okay. Oh, you got to do it that way. I'll let you do it then. Thank you. Very good. Okay, you're coming back to me. All right, you're back. You're back. Yes. Okay. What a great problem. Sunshine. Doesn't that seem wrong to kind of, we dream of sunshine and then we get it and it's gone. So, but I want you to be able to see me. I don't need to see you. I need you, you know, to not be blinded. So let's play this out a little bit further, and I want to wrestle with some things. So what's going to happen, and what I've seen, is that the Lord, as you have the mind of Christ, and God's not a mystery, the mystery becomes, will you have the courage to say yes to the promptings? You know what I'm talking about. Those times where you just hear a quick, subtle thought that comes into your mind, and you may hear, you need to apologize. 10 seconds go by, and now you start to make up other excuses why you shouldn't. You need to be the one who shares your faith. Right now, ask this person, do you know or have you ever prayed? Oh, I can't do that. And we start to go back to what's comfortable, right? The Lord speaks to us. There's no question. The issue is not, does God speak? And it frustrates me as a pastor. People say, how do I hear God's voice? Paul made it very clear. If you're a Jesus follower, you have the mind of Christ. He's not a mystery. He will give you promptings. And the more you obey, I've found if you obey in little, he says, I'll trust you with more. And if I can trust you with more, I'll trust you with more. And your life will get more influential for the kingdom of God. That's just the way that it works. You may hear a prompting of, just give to them. They're the ones in need. Don't just pray for them to have their needs met. You're capable of meeting their needs. Just take that step. I'm telling you, you have 10 seconds to obey. And if you don't, what's going to happen is the 11th second and beyond, you'll start to have different ideas. I'll talk about that in just a second. But let me just kind of play out some of these ways that it works. Here, this is fascinating. This may sound kooky, but it's highly, I'm convinced the day that I get to heaven, I'm going to just see some of the fruit. Maybe I'll see it still this side of heaven. But when I was in 7th grade, I was over at a friend's house. His name was Corey. We were enjoying some time just hanging out together. But that morning, we were getting ready for school. And I got up, took a shower, and we were getting ready to go. And while I was at school, he started mocking me in front of all of my friends. And he said, you don't know how to take a shower. And I was like, what are you talking about, Corey? I don't know how to take a shower. He said, yeah, you're supposed to dry off in the tub so all the water stays in the tub. But you, like a slosh boy, walk out and you got water all over my bathroom. Now, you would think that's no big deal, but here I am. Now, I'm 44 years old. That was, what, I was like 12 years old. That's 32 years ago. And I still remember it to this day. Every time I step out of the shower, this may sound so dumb to you, but trust me, this is happening in your life too. Every time I step out of the shower, drips hit on the ground. What do you think just comes back into my brain? Stupid Corey. He's in Fargo, North Dakota. I have no idea what's happening in his life today. But guess what I do in that moment? I could just be like, Corey's a jerk, and still hold those seventh grade anger moments. Or I could say, wait a minute, when I woke up this morning, I prayed, Lord, give me the mind of Christ. And you brought Corey's name into my brain still to this day. Could it be that I'm the only one praying for Corey to this day? I pray for him literally almost every day because I'm a sloppy shower taker still. And I still step out and there's still water on. But it just triggers something in my mind. You know those moments where you smell a smell and it brings up a memory from some time that you've had with people and that person just flashes into your brain. That's a great moment to just say, God, what is it you want me to do? And it might be just pray for that person. It might be follow up with them. They need your time. Spend lunch with them. Ask them a tough question. Write them a note. I've started to live this way over the last decade or so, and I'm telling you, my life is out of control in such an amazing way that it has more control than ever because it's in His hands. But I've lost control because God knows that I'm one of those radical guys, one of those people that He can just say, I can count on Ken. I'm going to prompt his mind, I'm going to prompt his heart, I'm going to open those doors, and he's going to be willing to walk through it because he threw his comfort spot out the window years ago. Because I'm telling you, I get one shot at life. And I don't want to be a 100-year-old person looking back saying, I wish I would have risked. I wish I would have invested my life more. Can I talk briefly here about how I've seen people make excuses? When I was in Africa, I had a really interesting night where we were out in the savanna. We were in deep parts, northern Kenya, and we could hear some lions, real lions, really free and roaming. And we were in small little huts. And oh man, does it give you chills up your neck when you hear these. I mean, from the core, your soul shakes when you hear the you know, and just the roar of the lion. And I remember we had the guy that we were with, he said, hey, Ken, can you go over to this other hut and get some whatever, these plates or whatever we were doing for dinner? But I was hearing lions in the distance. And I said, no, I'd rather not, because I was truly afraid. And he said, oh, is it the lion that you're afraid of? And I said, well, yeah. And he said, oh, don't worry. They can't come into our territory. And the next thing that he said has changed my life. He said, you see, the darkness is their territory. As long as you're in the light, they will never come into your territory. And that actually influenced me in major ways. You know, the only time, it frustrates me sometimes when I watch Christians walk through life in such timid ways because they're afraid that there's a devil under every rock that has power over them. Do you not realize Jesus already won that battle? So we don't fight for victory, we fight from a place of victory. We don't walk in and say, I hope I win here. Jesus says, wait a minute, I've already won the battle. You should walk into everything with boldness because I've already won the battle. And so if you stay in the light, you cannot be defeated. But here's what happens. I find people walk into the darkness in their mind far more than they even realize. Let's go back to our big overall premise here. So God prompts you and he gives you an idea and he says, hey, I want you to serve that person. The only way that you will not do it is if you agree with the enemy. In other words, if you step into the devil's territory. When you make it, the only time that the devil has any power is when you agree with him and say, that's right, I will look like a fool if I do that. I won't have enough money if I give generously to this person. I will fail if I try that ministry. I can't get up and speak publicly. When I did that years ago, I was made a fool of. And you make all of these agreements that what you're just doing is you're playing it comfortable and you're going right back here. And God is saying, I'm speaking to you right now. I mean, don't you realize the gift that we have? God speaks to us. That's what we just read in Scripture. You have the mind of Christ. He will give you ideas and promptings. Of course, you test it against the Scriptures. He's not going to tell you to do something that's contrary to Scripture. Of course, you test it with other brothers and sisters in the faith to make sure that you're hearing it. I love Joyce Meyer's philosophy of saying, it's the battleground for the mind. If you handle your mind and truly surrender it to the Lord, you can walk in a constant conversation with God. It frustrates me that as believers so many times, we don't really believe that God speaks to us. I can't believe the number of timid Christians I'm around who just say, who can understand God? He's such a mystery to me. The more you walk in the Spirit and walk in His flow, the more you start to realize, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. I am loaded with so much evidence of God around me, it would be impossible for me to stop believing in God because He truly speaks. Do you understand the miracle of what we're talking about here? So my challenge to us is to get away from the comfort of saying no all the time to the risky lifestyle of the yes. I will obey you, God, when you prompt my mind. And He'll come up with interesting things. And here's the good news about God. God's a gentleman. God is not out to embarrass you. You realize that? God doesn't want to see you fail. He comes to us as Savior. I used to be a lifeguard back when I was trying to work my way through college. And as a lifeguard, we are trained to go out there and rescue. We are the Saviors. We save people from drowning. I don't go out there. Imagine a lifeguard who, you know, somebody's drowning and the lifeguard says, "Hold on a minute. I'll be right there so I can dunk you so the pain will go away faster." Lifeguards don't do that. I think some of us think of God that way. Like God's going to swim out to you and say, "I'm going to hurt you." No, he reveals himself as Savior. He's safe. Meaning he's going to prompt your spirit to do things that will give you chances to see victory in your life. Wins. Celebration moments where you go, "Wait a minute. I really can be used by God." The reason we're becoming a post-Christian nation, and I'm in a city that feels very post-Christian, people don't think like Christians. They don't. They think with their feelings. They don't think with theology of God. They just don't. And our nation's moving in that direction. I just happen to be living in a place that's a little ahead of the curve. The reason we're becoming a post-Christian nation is because we've never seen the church as a verb. We gather in church gathering clusters, we do Bible studies, but it never becomes active. What I'm challenging you in and what we're studying here is this is God showing us how to be active, living the church as a verb. I'm telling you, if every single Christian in America through the last couple of generations and in the generations to come, if we would just obey this simple concept of you have the mind of Christ, he will prompt your thoughts with some interesting ways to bless the world would love Jesus. They would love the church. I've had a lot of people say, I like Jesus. I could follow Jesus, but it's just his people that I can't stand. Because sometimes we don't really, we're so afraid of being embarrassed. We would rather hide in our comfort zones. And a comfort thing for Christians sometimes could be doing Bible studies and just hiding in holy huddles, when in fact we need to be spread out. Louis Palau, if you ever heard of Louis Palau, he's like the Latin Billy Graham. And he had a phenomenal statement. He said, "You know, Christians are a lot like manure. If you pile them up, they're really stinky. But if you spread them out, they bring life and vitality." That's a disgusting illustration. But it's a beautifully true illustration of realizing that every moment of the day, God is going to give you chances to just say, "Hey, serve your spouse." "Well, I'm watching the game." And the 10 seconds will go by. You know what I'm talking about, and you miss the moment. And then the momentum goes by. Serve your kids. Go out and help your neighbor. Give that person a call. Apologize. Make amends. Bring some healing to the world. I'm telling you, it's a great way to live. It's scary. It's not comfortable. This is a highly uncomfortable concept. It'd be a whole lot easier just to talk about the love of God and how he loves us. That's all true. But to whom much is given, much is required. And one thing I love about Epworth is we've been given a lot. We've got some really good theology. We've got some really good love. We've got a lot of, there's just a lot of goodness here. So kind of stinks to be us. To whom much is given, he's going to speak to your mind loudly. I beg you to be a 10-second follower. You can count on me, God. I will say yes the moment you ask. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for to whom much is given, much is required. You have given us so much. And I love the fact that we are never, 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 never alone. I love the fact that in this room, there are thousands of 10-second moments. There are thousands of opportunities that you're going to give us to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this world. And so right now, here in this place, God, I pray that we will just, in many ways, make a spiritual vow to you that as far as it goes with each one of us, we will serve you and we will say yes when you call us. Especially when it's uncomfortable. But God, I pray that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that will live in us to give us the power, the wisdom, and the courage to step forward when you ask us to obey. I am humbled and I am privileged at the fact that we get to have moments like these where we can just recalibrate our thinking and our spirits. And I hope in many ways every single soul right now in this room has said in their mind, yep, I already believe that, I'm already doing it. Tonight was confirmation. But I have a sneaking suspicion there's some conviction happening in this room, and we feel a sense of, oh boy, buckle up, I shouldn't have come tonight. But here we are, God, and your Spirit is speaking loudly because we have the mind of Christ and we claim it. You're not a mystery, you are clear. You are an excellent and perfect communicator, and we want to thank you for taking us into places we could not go if not for your amazing grace and for your amazing call on each one of our lives. I thank you for my friends here now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So tomorrow, I'm going to get into the church. I'm sick and tired of the church being irrelevant. I actually have, God has opened up doors like crazy because I keep saying yes. And so I've been in almost probably half of the states or more doing some coaching and training on revitalization of the church and how to be relevant and how to be active and how to think like leaders. And so we're going to get into some leadership concepts. I don't know how much time it is and what time we meet. It's in here at what time?
10
o'clock. And is it until 11 o'clock? So I've got 8 hours of material. And I will cram it into one. I've done it many, many times, and it will feel like drinking water from a fire hose, so sleep well tonight. I would encourage you, eat a nice, well-balanced midnight snack if you do. But really, I encourage you to be here. And if you know other friends around this area and they have a church that's struggling, I don't have a lot to offer this world except this area is the one thing I know I get right. And I've inspired a lot of churches to wake up and to be revitalized. And so I hope there's something in you that says, I'm interested in that, and maybe invite some friends, because I want every single church that is represented around Epworth to be vital and alive and influencing the community, because this world is desperately in trouble. But we win. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here. And God bless you. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Thank you for this night tonight. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you.